Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue to talk about our battle against sin. This week, we've been reflecting on the nature, you might say the anatomy, of our spiritual struggle against sin. And we're in this season now of Lent, and it's really important for us to kind of just squarely look at our battle against sin. The writer of the letter of Hebrews tells us, you know, you have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. So there's a high expectation that we take it seriously. And I have to say, today in many parts of the church, we don't talk so directly about sin. I think we've been duped a little bit into the idea that we just need to be positive all the time. And my view is the only way we can come into an actual positive experience of life is not to avoid like the hard sayings of Jesus or the difficult dimensions of what's expressed through the gospel. We're going to reach happiness. We're going to reach joy. We're going to reach freedom when we come to terms with the truth, when we receive the truth that's given to us in God's word about who God is, who we are, what we're up against, the reality of sin, the biblical worldview, when we really internalize it and we're living from it. So if talking about sin, there's no better time to talk about it than in Lent, the season of Lent, because this is what we're kind of getting serious about. One of the reasons I think that we don't like to look at sin is one, we have an affection for our sins. Some of us do. Just about everybody does. You have some affection and attachment to it. So you don't want to get rid of it. It's too hard. You feel like it's kind of hard to think about life without this little thing that I'm giving myself. And we're living in a kind of a wrong understanding of our actual condition. And so we say, well, like, for example, some people look at it like this, you know, like, okay, well, you know what? Hey, yeah, so I have, you know, maybe I drink too much, or maybe I look at it just a little bit of pornography. I mean, I kind of have it managed, or maybe I cheat on my taxes, you know, so like, hey, it's a corrupt government, you know, and I deserve a little bit, you know, so we make room for example, relationships. Yeah, okay, I have been talking about my friend, or I have been talking about my colleague at work, kind of behind their back, but the truth is, he's a jerk. So we kind of know, I mean, our conscience is at work in us. We know these things that we like to do, gossip, cheat, lie, steal. We make a little bit of room for it in our lives. And we say, well, you know, look at the rest of my life. I mean, nobody's perfect and I'm a good guy. And I think the good guy in me outweighs the bad stuff a little bit. And so we have this strange thing where we think about our life as scales, as a scale. And that if when I die, if the good I did outweighs the bad I did, then I'm going to get in to heaven. And there's a fundamental misunderstanding about salvation, first of all, that nobody gets into heaven simply on the basis of the good they've done or the lack of evil they've done. The only way you get into heaven is to repent of your sins and receive the free gift of salvation that's given to us in Jesus. What it means and how you access it is through the good news, the gospel of Jesus, and Jesus' assessment about sin and his offer of salvation in mercy to each one of us who are literally, as the Bible says, dead in our sins. We have no hope in this world. There's not a single thing in this world that can give me a realistic hope of living beyond death and then escaping eternal separation from God, which the Bible calls Gehenna, which the church calls hell. There's no hope for that. Where does that come from? And what does it mean to be freed from it and to be freed from sin, the sin that's in me that Jesus made so clear when he himself said, look into your heart. What defiles a man is what's in there, not what comes from outside, but what's in there. What's in there? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, lust, hatred. Jesus didn't expose that in order to condemn us, because we already stand condemned. He came in mercy, and he wants us to live the truth. It's like wake up. Don't pretend you're good. Like, don't pretend you're different than what Jesus is diagnosing you as. He's telling us, you know, look, this is who you are. You need salvation. I'm offering you salvation. Repent. Acknowledge your sin. Come to the waters of baptism, or come to confession again, and come to confession again. Jesus wants to take away our sin, and in baptism, he definitively deals with it. So what salvation is about is not me working my way to earning salvation, and as I die, I say, hey, look, Lord, the good outweighed the bad. Wow, look what I did. Isn't that great? You know, I'm in. Or maybe by just a bit, the whole scales idea is just not part of the gospel. It misses the point completely. The only way I get in heaven, ultimately, is God's mercy. Is God's mercy of the offer of the gift of his son, Jesus. The only way I can enter life is to have my sins taken away. Jesus is the expiation. He came to take away sin. He blotted it out. He cleansed me. He washed me clean by his blood. And he gave me a new heart. And he made me a new creation by putting in me his life, a life that's stronger than death. Nothing in this world is stronger than death. Nothing except the life of Jesus Christ that gets communicated to people through the sacraments, sacrament of baptism in particular, and through the sacraments and the grace and power, presence of the Holy Spirit. So we're in Lent, what we're doing is we're remembering the battle that we're in, and we're not afraid to look at it squarely. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us see. The Holy Spirit is our escort into the life of God. The Holy Spirit reveals to us more deeply, more profoundly, hopefully every day, a little more of a glimpse of the purity and holiness and majesty and love of God. And that maybe we're cleansed enough, that is, we are walking in greater degrees of freedom, that our interior life begins to quiet and we begin to grow in our capacity to love. And the gifts of faith, hope, and love grow in us. And that gift of faith, which allows me to see the truth about God and to welcome it, and then to entrust my life to him. Jesus, I trust in you. What a beautiful, simple prayer from Faustine. It's so beautiful. Jesus, I trust in you. And we no longer live in shame and condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we fall, we don't run and hide from him if we know what he's done for us and we know who he is. And we know that he loves us and he knows our frame and his heart is always mercy toward us. And that if we turn to him 70 times, 7 times a day, we can turn to him in receiving his mercy. It's a way of Jesus expressing the fullness of his desire to forgive. And he wants that forgiveness that heals our heart to begin to transform us, God's mercy and forgiveness. And we, day by day, we look more like him. And that means we're stepping into more of his freedom. We're moving from faith to hope. We have a confidence about us, not a cockiness, not an arrogance, not self-reliance, but we have the awareness that God is at work in us. And with humility and gratitude, we celebrate it. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I believe you. And one of the ways you honor God and one of the ways you give thanks to God is you believe him. You believe his word. You believe what he says about you is true. You know, the difficult stuff that's there, but also the great love that he has for you and his mercy towards you and that he's with you always and that Jesus is thrilled about the fact that the Father has made you his child and you have an inheritance and you're going to become a partaker of the divine nature. It's already begun. And that the big gift that God the Father has given to you in Jesus is already here. So everything in this world, as good as it is, now gets put in its proper place. Nothing compares to what you've been given. And this great hope of sharing in the glory, majesty, absolute love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is your present life, which is going to lead to its full completion in the life to come. And you're confident in it. Why? Because you know what Jesus has done, and you know his love for you, and you know he's utterly trustworthy. He's present. So you begin to live in the superior pleasures of God. The fruits of the Spirit begin to grow in you. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and you start experiencing these realities that come from the presence of God, and that God gives them to the humble, the proud and the arrogant who just keep doubling down on being covetous and lusting and, you know, my ego, this, that, and love of the world and all that. The fruits of the Spirit can't grow there. That's just, it's not the soil it grows in. But it's the humble, the abiding, the trusting. And then all that faith, hope, and love, faith and hope, it becomes the place which, you know, love grows in it. And this is the bottom line, that we learn to love. We learn to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that freedom comes and we begin to see like, oh, this is literally the entire point of life. The most important, what Jesus calls the first and the greatest thing, nothing on the planet, not my aspirations, goals, not my rewards, not my money, not my popularity, nothing in this world compares to this. Wow, I get it. The pearl of great price. Jesus Christ is showing me, leading me, demonstrating to me how I can find happiness, how I can come to live in these fruits of the Spirit by following Him, and that He's helping me now not be dominated by my flesh and my rage, my unforgiveness, my lusting, you name it. He's begun to subdue these things in me as I've brought them to Him day by day in humility and say, Jesus, help me. Help me with this, Jesus. Help me get free. Help me walk, right, in peace. And then what emerges in us is this work of sanctity and sanctification that He works in us. And that what that really means is we start loving God. We start responding to His offer of love with love. He makes it possible for us. That's why He said He gives us a new heart, where we'll have the law of God in our hearts. We'll really want God. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. That's why the saints are so amazing. They glow. You know, they have this radiance among them because they're caught up in loving and receiving love. It's not a slavish, dutiful law that God puts on us. He's not a slave driver. He's a loving Father. The devil's a slave driver. And sin is slavery. And sin will kill us in the end. That's what He's after. And Jesus wants to come and take it away from us. And so we have to listen to Him and say, look, He's not coming to condemn us. And don't hold on to your affection for sin. And don't be discouraged that you can't overcome it. On your own, you can't. But just trust Him. And you overcome it by, yes, exercising your will, getting clear in our mind what we ought to be doing, and stepping with our best efforts in that direction. But ultimately, it's yielding to the Holy Spirit. And then as our minds are open, as we begin to see, friends, the superior pleasures of God, the beauty of God, God's delight in us, how deeply He loves us and how wonderful God is, all of a sudden, these other things just don't taste good. Sin's taste, you start moving away from it, and you'll kind of look back and say, wow, look what God's done in me. Look how far I've come. Sometimes the devil wants to say, you haven't come very far at all, and discourage us, but he's wrong. He does that in order to get us to give up, to give in, to back away, and to not pay attention, and ultimately not to trust God. But that's what this season of Lent, friends, is all about, moving in that direction. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.